Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me today on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. It is 4 p.m., the time that we normally come on. I'd like to welcome all of my listeners here in the United States and from around the world, especially there in Costa Rica, my good friends. Thank you for listening. I'd like to invite everyone, wherever you might be, to a very interesting and enlightening show today. We're going to be talking about some very interesting topics, and the lead topic, as you might have seen if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, we'll be looking at about six fruits that help boost your energy. One of the most common complaints or questions I get from people is about increasing their energy. Oftentimes, there's underlying cause with adrenal fatigue or not getting enough sleep or whatever. We're going to talk about some fruits today that are beneficial in helping boost your energy. We're also going to talk a little bit about antibiotics and some of the problems with why we're not getting the same benefit from antibiotics that we may have perceived that we were getting in the past. We're also going to talk about a very, very popular cookie that is just as addictive as cocaine. We have a very interesting show today. We're going to talk about a little bit in our natural, rather than our healing food section, we're going to talk a little bit about blueberries, and we're going to close out today in our final section with the healing herb, healing supplement section. We're going to talk a little bit, we're going to finish with Siberian ginseng. We talked about it a little bit last week. I just want to remind you also that if you're listening, we're here every Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. If you want to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. I also like to remind you that if you didn't get or don't have opportunity to catch the show, any other shows that we do every week, if you miss it or if you come into the middle of a show at any time in the past, you can come on maybe roughly about 10 to 15 minutes after I'm done with the live broadcast, and the archive will be available to listen to on demand. You can also visit me at facebook.com/naturedoc. That's facebook.com/naturedoc. I'm just firing up the chat here on Blog Talk Radio. If you are logged in on Blog Talk Radio, you can send me a chat. Just go to Blog Talk Radio /Phase 3 Wellness. We use the Blog Talk Radio platform to broadcast here. So again, if you're a blog, just go to blogtalkradio.com /Phase 3 Wellness. Invite your friends and family members to listen to this information. Some of this information, a lot of this information is crucial. And some information I'm giving you is sometimes things that I say, some people pay for some of this information. So I like to remind you that is very, very important information, and is information that you can use to educate yourself. Education is very, very important when it comes to health. Now, I'm going to take a very, very quick break, and I'm going to come back, and we are going to go ahead and get started. We have a lot to cover today. Again, thank you for listening. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy, and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are just starting off in our first segment. This is the segment, it's called the Weekend Natural News Review. If you haven't listened before, this is where I talk about certain articles dealing with natural health and healing and wellness that came out during the week. The first article that we're going to discuss this week came from Green Med Info, greenmedinfo.com, and this is entitled Antidepressants, No Better Than Placebo. It's based on a Journal of American Medical Association study. Now, this article was taken from the site, and it was posted on November the 8th, which was Friday, and it was written by Dr. Jeffrey Dock, MD. And he points out in this article, again, it's entitled Antidepressants, No Better Than Placebo, a JAMA study, a Journal of American Medical Association study. And he refers in this article to a study that was published in January of this year. And according to this study, he said it reported that SSRI antidepressants are no better than placebo for most cases of depression. And he says in this article that the authors reviewed 30 years of data, and they concluded that the benefit of antidepressant medication compared with placebo may be minimal or non-existent in patients with mild or moderate symptoms of depression. Now, it's interesting because we've talked a little bit about this before, about antidepressants and about the tremendous side effects of antidepressants. And now JAMA, or the Journal of American Medical Association, based upon this study, they're reporting that for those with mild to moderate cases of depression, that the drugs that they're being given or that they're being subscribed actually are essentially worthless. And so this is an interesting study. He goes on to say in this particular article, Dr. Jeffrey Dock says, of course, this is old news, and he says it reminds me of the famous scene in the 1942 film Casablanca where Captain Louis Renault declares, quote, "I am shocked to find gambling here. Here is your winnings. Oh, thank you." The doctor in this article goes on to say, I should add that the study found antidepressants work better than placebo for severe depression. He says that this is not surprising since virtually any psychostimulant can be found useful for the most severely depressed patient. So in other words, he says that that's not anything to jump up and down about simply because they found that even though the antidepressants do not work in mild to moderate cases of depression, yet, in severe cases of depression, they found some benefit. He says that any psychostimulant can be found useful for those who are the most severely depressed. He goes on to say, medically speaking, the term depression is a vague constellation of feelings and symptoms that are scored by a questionnaire called a Hamilton Depression Score. And he goes on to point out further how he says there are a number of handy online tools for taking the Hamilton Depression Score questionnaire. And he goes on to point out the short version and the long version of some of the questions that they ask to kind of determine whether or not a person is depressed. And if you're on the chat room right now, I've referenced that article. I've put a link to it in the overnet area. Now, it's not a blog, but in the forum here or in the chat. Anyway, you can reference and look at it. At any rate, he goes on to say, he points out, like I give you a couple of the questions that this Hamilton Depression Score sheet asks. It asks questions like with regard to your mood. Are you sad? Are you hopeless? Are you helpless? Are you worthless? Then it asks about feelings of guilt. Do you have feelings of guilt or self-reproach? And he goes on to point out for the short 17 item version of the Hamilton questionnaire, scores can range from 0 to 54. And Hamilton scores between 0 and 6, he says, are normal. Scores between 7 and 17 indicate mild depression. Scores between 8 and 24 indicate moderate depression. And scores over 24 indicate severe depression. And he says, according to the January 5th Journal of American Medical Association study, if your Hamilton score is less than 24, then a placebo is just as effective as an antidepressant drug. That means they work about the same as a sugar pill. Again, and I have the link to this article over in the chat room here. Now, as Dr. Doc goes on to say further in this particular article, he points out, saying, quote, as is obvious, many of these feelings or symptoms are somewhat subjective and rather vague, so depression scoring is not an exact science and can be manipulated according to the agenda of the researcher or questioner. He says, as you can see, many of these Hamilton symptoms overlap with real medical diseases. He goes on to say, for example, patients with inflammatory bowel disease or celiac disease could score positive for the GI symptoms, even though they may not be clinically depressed. Now, let me stop and comment on that question. You heard me on here talk about the second brain before, and you've heard where there's some doctors who treat irritable bowel syndrome and other issues of the gastrointestinal tract that actually point out how some people who are most people, who have gastrointestinal turmoil will also have symptoms that mimic depression, clinical depression. And when in reality, this is because you have millions of neurons in the gastrointestinal tract, and about 90% also of serotonin, which is a mood, which is which dictates largely how you feel. It helps determine how your mood will be. If 90% of your serotonin is produced in your gastrointestinal tract, which it is, and if you have gastrointestinal problems, then of course you could have emotional issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, etc. And so now this is what this doctor is pointing out in this article as well. He's describing a situation where a patient with inflammatory bowel disease or celiac disease could actually score positive for the GI symptoms, not because they necessarily have any depression that's originated in their first brain, which would be the brain in their head, but I would argue that it may be because of mental issues in their second brain, the brain in their gut. He points out somatic symptoms in this article. He goes on to point out further, somatic symptoms of fatigue and muscle pain may overlap with fibromyalgia and hypothyroid symptoms. He goes on to point out further, slowness of thought and speech could overlap with the low thyroid condition or a neurological disorder such as a B12 deficiency. He says patients in chronic severe pain contemplating suicide may not necessarily indicate clinical depression. But he says obviously these patients need pain relief rather than an SSRI antidepressant drug. And this is true. So this is one of the reasons why it's very important to understand medicine from a holistic viewpoint. Because it's not enough just to hand out drugs like you're handing out cancer without really understanding the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, all of the elements of the human body which may come into play to affect the person. Dr. Doc in this article goes on to say further that many women with hormonal imbalance related to premenopause or postmenopausal transitions will have mood disorders and symptoms which actually overlap with many of the symptoms on the Hamilton Depression Score, so they could be diagnosed as being clinically depressed when in reality it's the hormonal imbalance that's causing them to have these various emotions. He says further that, for example, the term premenstrual dysphoric disorder is commonly treated with SSRI antidepressants by mainstream primary care and OBGYN docs. He says further that this particular disorder is actually a manufactured term made up by the drug companies to sell SSRI drugs and in reality attempts to redefine the original term, PMS or premenstrual syndrome. He says further that with the January 5, 2010 JAMA article, we now have evidence that premenstrual dysphoric disorder and other common forms of hormone imbalance are poorly served by SSRI antidepressants. So basically, they've come up with this manufactured term to be able to give sell more drugs to women who were having emotional issues because of their hormones being imbalanced, sometime across the premenopausal or being postmenopausal, the transition from one to the next, and hormones in general. Hormones have a lot to do with several areas of the body, and hormones being thrown out of balance and out of whack can cause a lot of problems, but that does not necessarily mean, or it doesn't mean that you should give people antidepressants because they have hormonal problems. He says using SSRIs is simply the wrong way. And he says the benefit of SSRI antidepressants for this group is the same as the benefit from placebo. Rather, this group of women should be properly evaluated and then treated with bioidentical hormones to address the underlying problem. He says we have noted considerable success using cyclic natural progesterone in this group of women with PMS and other hormonal imbalances. He says, in my opinion, natural progesterone is a far better form of treatment with none of these adverse side effects associated with SSRI antidepressants. I agree. That's one of the things that I also recommend and give in my practice is with women are having different hormonal issues, and many times they will be having depression and some of the other issues. And natural progesterone cream, exercise, altering the diet, especially eating a plant-based diet, the rainbow diet, I call it. When you combine all of those things and remove anything that is a consistent source of stress or distress, one would be very pleased to understand or find out how beneficial you can obtain from following these type of modalities, natural modalities, the eight laws of health that you hear me talk about: sunshine, trust in the creator, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, self-control, all of these different things. And if you add, as I noted before, and as he notes in this article, natural progesterone for this specific issue that we're talking about, namely hormonal imbalance, then the benefits that you can get far outweigh the benefits from these SSRI antidepressant drugs. He goes on to say in this article that when placebo and SSRI antidepressants are compared and find equally effective, the next question relates to adverse side effects. He says, by definition, placebos have no adverse side effects. However, this is not true for antidepressants, which have the following adverse side effects. 1, sexual dysfunction. 2, weight gain and sleep disturbance. He says these are the most troubling adverse effects of SSRI antidepressant therapy. He says the most common side effects associated with these drugs are nausea, headache, nervousness, insomnia, and sexual dysfunction. Finally, he says another troubling adverse side effect of SSRI depressants is increased suicide, first reported by Techner in 1990, he says. He says that according to David Healy, the author of Let Them Eat Prozac, the original clinical trial data was manipulated by moving the suicide cases from the treatment arm over to the placebo arm of the study. He says this manipulated data was then submitted to the FDA, who conveniently looked the other way. He says further, this disturbing information was presented at Cornell University March 25, 2009, in a talk by David Healy. And he has a link on it in the article on YouTube. And again, I've posted this article in the chat room over here. And you can go in the chat room and you can look at it now. Just click on it and read through the article, and you can go click through those links. Now, if you are listening to a recorded, if you're not listening live, and therefore you're listening to a rebroadcast, or you're listening to the on-demand version of this, you're not going to be able to see that. So just go to the article. It's at greenmedinfo.com, greenmedinfo.com. And the article is entitled Antidepressants No Better Than Placebo. And just do a search on the article there, and you should be able to pull it up. And now we'll go on to our second article. And we'll look at the number one cookie, a very popular cookie that is just as addictive as cocaine. That's right. There's a cookie, a very popular cookie, and I suspect there are other ones involved, but since this is the one that we're talking about, this is the article that we're going to be addressing, we'll stick to this particular cookie. And this particular cookie this article is taken from Mercola.com, and this article was published here recently. And Dr. Mercola says, when you eat refined and processed sugars, I'm quoting from the article, they trigger production of your brain's natural opioids, a key ingredient in the addiction process. Your brain essentially becomes addicted to stimulating the release of its own opioids as it would to morphine or heroin. This addictive nature of sugar and processed food has been confirmed by a psychology professor and a team of students at the College of Connecticut, he says, who showed that Oreo cookies are just as addictive as cocaine or morphine. The study was designed, he says, to investigate the potential addictiveness of high-fat, high-sugar foods. Also found that eating Oreos activated more neurons in the rat brain's pleasure center than exposure to illicit drugs did. According to Professor Schroeder, he says, quote, our research supports the theory that high-fat, high-sugar foods stimulate the brain in the same way that drugs do. It may explain why some people can't resist these foods despite the fact that they know they are bad for them. So here we have a study from the University of Connecticut, and they've been able to determine that Oreos, for example, activated more neurons in the rat brain's pleasure center than exposure to illicit drugs. And Dr. Mercola says further in this article, the idea for the study originated with neuroscience major Jamie Hunohan, who wanted to know how the high prevalence of junk food in low-income neighborhoods might contribute to the obesity epidemic. And I would add, not only contribute to the obesity epidemic, but also contribute to crime and violence in these low-income areas. He said, indeed, it's quite revealing to note that in contrast to third world countries in the U.S., the poorest people have the highest obesity rates. This seeming contradiction is, I believe, he says, a clear indication that the problem stems from the diet itself. Something in the cheapest and most readily available foods is creating metabolic havoc, and that's exactly what researchers keep finding. As reported, now then Dr. Mercola goes on to report, and he quotes from Connecticut College, saying, quote, Oreos activated significantly more neurons than cocaine or morphine. This correlated well with our behavioral results and lends support to the hypothesis that high-fat, high-sugar foods can be thought of as addictive. And that would be a problem for the general public, says Honohan. Even though we associate significant health hazards in taking drugs like cocaine and morphine, high-fat, high-sugar foods may present even more of a danger because of their accessibility and affordability, she said. So here we're finding out, this is not something that's totally new. There have been other studies that have come out and have been similar studies that have come out and have told us. So here we're finding that one thing that's scarcely mentioned when we talk about the amount of crime in the inner cities and the amount of crime in the lower income neighborhoods. But if you think about it, the inner cities typically tend to be lower income. And not only that, the lower income areas, they typically tend to eat cheaper foods or more unhealthy foods. And now what happens is a deadly cycle is created. Because if you're already in a low income area and then you eat the foods that affect your brain, not only your first brain, but also your second brain, and then the result of the metabolic havoc that's being wreaked upon your mind causes you to behave in a fashion that's even that's consistent with not being rational and not being sane. So that even increases the cycle even more, and it increases the likelihood that you're going to continue to act that way. And so it's a vicious cycle, a very vicious cycle. To go back to this article here on Mercola.com, Dr. Mercola points out, he says, please note that I do not agree with the comment that everything that is considered high fat is bad for you. He says, Oreo cookies and virtually every other processed snack are bad because they use highly processed omega-6 vegetable oils, the wrong type of fat. He goes on to say, however, it is possible to make a healthy fat snack using oils like coconut oil. And that's true. I like to just point out that I agree with Dr. Mercola that there are some healthy fats. We can alter those fats by doing certain things to them, but there are some type of health. There are some healthy fats, omega-3, omega-6 fatty acids. That's essentially what fats are. So Dr. Mercola goes on to say further, and he's referencing, continuing to reference this topic in his article. He says, indeed, scientific research into the addictive nature of certain foods combined with shocking insider exposés tells us that Americans are not necessarily lacking in self-control when it comes to their food consumption. Rather, food companies have perfected food concoctions that are purposely addictive, and they know it. He points out further in his article that most people blindly believe that food companies will do the right thing. And not only that, that they would never produce food that might be toxic or harmful. This, we've learned, is not the case. That's true. It's simply not true. Just understand, food companies in general, with very few exceptions, and they may be in more so in the natural health community, food companies, supermarkets, etc., their first goal in producing food is not to produce food that is healthy for you. It's not to produce food that looks after your health. Their first goal in producing food is making money. Never forget that. So while their first goal in producing food is making money, your first goal and my first goal should be for our health and the health of our families. The article goes on to point out further that the food industry is well aware of its role in creating obesity. Not only that, he says they're not ignorant as to the reason why Americans can't seem to get enough junk food. They even insist on selling foods to the American market with ingredients that have been banned for health reasons in other countries. So they insist on selling foods here in this country that for health reasons have been banned in other countries. And although these foods have been banned in other countries, and they know these foods have been banned in other countries because they're not able to sell them there, yet they will sell them here. He says further that most processed foods are actually created to be addictive. He says whether we're talking about cookies or pasta sauce, through the masterful use of addictive ingredients like salt, fat, sugar, and a wide variety of proprietary flavorings. Then he quotes a New York Times article that was written by investigative reporter Michael Moss. He points out how Moss wrote about the extraordinary science behind taste and junk food addiction, and how multinational food companies actually struggle to maintain their stomach shares in the quote stomach shares in the face of mounting evidence that the foods that they produce are actually driving the health crises. And he says Dr. Mercola cites that he mentions a 1999 meeting between 11 CEOs in charge of America's largest food companies, including Kraft, Nabisco, General Mills, Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, and Mars, where their role in the increasingly poor health of Americans was addressed head-on. And then he cites the author, Michael Moss, in this article. And Michael Moss wrote, quote, in his book talking about these, or in his article talking about these 11 CEOs in charge of America's largest food companies that met, he says, quote, Michael Moss says, quote, James Benicki, a 55-year-old executive at Pillsbury, was engaged in conversation with a group of food science experts who were painting an increasingly grim picture of the public's ability to cope with the industry's formulations. From the body's fragile controls on overeating to the hidden power of some processed foods to make people feel hungrier still, he says it was time he and a handful of others felt to warn the CEOs that their companies may have gone too far in creating and marketing products that pose the greatest health concerns, end quote. So here we have the free market, which I'm a believer in, but this is not free market. This is not business. This is not this is business without a free market without morals, without a conscience. It's predatory. And whenever you have anything that's run by greed or predatory mindset, it will cause anything that might in and of itself be beneficial, be good for everyone, to not turn out well for anyone. And so here you have these huge companies knowingly put food on the market that knowingly paid scientists to create essentially drugs that are passed off as food. And while yet the FDA and the people who sponsors and whatnot will tear down natural medicine, they will tear down herbs, they will tear down the things that will help in our health while at the same time promoting and pushing these drugs that are masquerading as foods, because they essentially operate like drugs do in terms of addictiveness in the body, not to mention the damage that they do to the body. Now, Dr. Marcola goes on to say further in this particular article, he says, with everything we know about how the metabolic disaster that is fructose, it's absolutely shocking to learn that the European Union has approved a health claim for fructose slated to take effect as 2014. He says, many of my readers are scattered throughout the EU nations, and for you, understanding the ramification of this label is crucial. So I'm not going to have time to go through every little bit in this article, but it's at Marcola.com, and the name of the article is, I'm going to look at a little bit more of it, but just in the event that I don't get finished going through it, which I know I will not, you can take the time to go, and it's entitled, As the EU Launches Shocking Fructose Health Claim Label, Oreos Are Found to Be as Addictive as Cocaine. I'm going to go over and put that in the chat box now, and you can click on that again if you are in the chat room, or if you're listening live, you'll be able to do it now if you have access to the chat. If not, you just have to go on later and look that up. Now, this article goes on to say further that in the article, he goes on to point out more about high fructose corn syrup, and that's mostly the gist of it. And so I'm not going to go into the details of that because I don't really have the time to do so. But again, go and read this article. High fructose corn syrup is one of the most devastatingly sugars that your body can encounter, and it's not a good idea for you to eat it at all. Again, you can read more about that at article. You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'd like to thank you for listening. We're going to, at this point, pivot over. We're still in our first segment called the Weekend Natural News Review. We're going to pivot over now and talk about our next article. And this article is the main topic in the title of our broadcast today. And that is basically, we want to look at a few foods in general that give you energy. And now you may think that this would normally be in the weekend in the health section when we deal with the healing food section. But I decided this is typically, like I said earlier, it's typically a topic that I get a lot of questions about. A lot of people deal with not having enough energy. So once you rule out things like not getting enough sleep, bad sleep habits, which cause you to be tired or feel sluggish, or you have to change your sleep habits. Once you rule out things of that nature, once you rule out distress or exceeding stress, then you have to take into account your overall diet. If you're not eating a lot of foods, sweeteners, you're not stressing out, because remember, stress can deplete your adrenal glands, which can deplete your B-complex vitamin, which will lead to adrenal fatigue and your entire endocrine system fatigue, actually. So let's look at some of these six energy-boosting fresh fruits. The first one we'll talk about is bananas. The banana can give you an instant energy boost. And unlike caffeinated drinks and some of these drinks that you see on the market now, where they're simply full of caffeine, and what they don't tell you in these energy drinks is that they have so much caffeine that it shocks your nervous system. And essentially what you're doing when you take those energy drinks that are laden with so much caffeine is that you're essentially borrowing energy that your body has reserved for the future. So you are actually writing checks for money that you have in the bank and taking it out of your retirement, essentially, out of your health retirement fund that's reserved by your body. And so you're borrowing from money in the future, symbolically speaking. And so when you get to that age and you need that energy, you don't have it because you've shocked your nervous system. You've tapped into it before it was time to. And so unlike that, unlike these energy drinks and caffeinated drinks, a banana will give you an instant energy boost, and you don't have to worry about the negative side effects with the that come with the caffeinated drinks. Because so you see, bananas are an excellent source of potassium, which is an electrolyte, and that supports your nerves as well as your muscle health. In fact, one medium banana has about 105 calories, which is a whole lot less than most of these sugary sodas and sweets, etc. It also has about 27 grams of carbohydrates and 1 gram of protein and about 5/10 of a gram of fat. So here you have, again, because it's so full of potassium, it's a benefit for your heart and for your nerves. Next is papaya. Of course, papaya is a vibrant tropical fruit. It also comes with an added energy boost because it has lots of vitamins. And not only that, it's a great defense against the common cold because it has been shown to ward off the negative effects of secondhand smoke even. And some have gotten benefit, has been recommended by some natural health practitioners to help also protect against rheumatoid arthritis. Another benefit of papaya is also help destroy certain types of worms and parasites that may be contained in your system. The next food is oranges. Oranges can help with your energy as well. Now, for one, they are packed with vitamin C, and not only that, they also have natural sugars that will help raise your energy levels. And you don't have to worry about because they have the natural sugars, you don't have to worry about the crazy spike in your blood sugar that you could potentially get, that you will get from eating the processed sugars. Next are strawberries. Strawberries are a scrumptious way to combat fatigue. We've talked about strawberries on here before. We've talked about some of their benefits. They actually have more vitamin C than do oranges. And so they can all, again, most people know, they give you energy. Not only that, they have, like carrots and flaxseed, they're actually beneficial for your health side. So that's one of the good things when you eat with the colors of the rainbow, the foods that the Creator has given us. Because not only do you get the basic benefit, but you get a lot of the side benefits where if these were being made by a drug company, you would be charged for every benefit that they could fit into that they could make up a way to charge you for. And the Creator gives all of these benefits in these foods. The next one is pineapple, one of our favorite foods. Again, it can help with your energy. It has a lot of great vitamins in it. We've talked about pineapple on Faith Through Wellness as well. Pineapples contain vitamins such as manganese, copper, vitamin C, vitamin B1, vitamin 6, you get a lot of fiber. Not only that, it also helps to benefit your gastrointestinal tract as a whole. It's full of enzymes. Just a great, great overall fruit. Finally, pears. Pears also will give you, they're a great source of energy, especially if you can get your hand on fresh pears. They can also, many times, for many people, they work as a very powerful laxative. And so there's another benefit. Not only do you get energy, but you also get the benefit of if you're constipated or backed up, some people can use that as a laxative to help, that fiber helps move your bowels out. So those are, again, six energy-boosting fresh fruits, especially if you can get them organically. Again, that's bananas, papayas, oranges, strawberries, pineapple, and pears. You are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'd like to thank you for listening. I'm going to take a quick break here, very quick break. I'm going to come right back, and we're going to keep moving right along. We spent quite a bit of time on that first article, that first segment, and we'll go over to our second segment when we come back, which blends right in with this segment, which is our healing food segment, and then we'll go over to our talk on our healing herb, which is Siberian ginseng, a very, very potent and very valuable herb that we'll talk about here. I'll be back in just a second.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The simple natural...
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. As I said before, if you would like to call in with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Now, we are over into our healing food segment, and in this segment, we're going to talk about blueberries. And we've talked about blueberries before in the past, but sometimes, as I said before, we revisit a particular fruit or food or group of foods when we come across new research. And I like to mention this research here on blueberries that came out recently. And this particular research is talking about the anthocyanins that are contained in blueberries and how these anthocyanins that we can get from eating blueberries actually help to improve our arterial elasticity and to actually help to lower heart disease risk. Heart disease is a killer, a number one killer in the U.S. and a lot of other Western societies. Now, wild blueberries, they are actually a very rich source of what we call phytochemicals, also called polyphenols, and they have been reported and a growing number of studies, that even some of the studies that we've mentioned here on Phase 3 Wellness. And even before this study came out, there have been studies, prior studies to this one, that's pointing out the benefits of these polyphenols, these phytochemicals, and their wide array or their capacity to be able to protect and to give a lot of different health benefits. And some of these health benefits that we've talked about from these phytochemicals include lowering our risk from Alzheimer's disease, certain forms of cancers and diabetes, etc. Now, one of the things that this particular study points out is that using a mouse model known to closely stimulate metabolic syndrome in humans, scientists fed the equivalent to mice of 2 cups of wild blueberries per day for 8 weeks. Now, as they fed these blueberries to these mice, they found that they were able to regulate as well as improve the balance between relaxing and constricting the factors in the vascular walls or the blood vessels, hereby being able to improve blood flow and blood pressure regulation of these Zucker rats, which were actually obese, and they had also metabolic syndrome. So basically, by giving them these 2 cups of blueberries per day in this study, they were able to basically regulate when the blood vessels would constrict or when they would dilate. And according to this study, the lead author of this study, Dr. Kima Zakas, commented, quote, "We have previously documented the cardiovascular benefits of a polyphenol-rich wild blueberry in a rat model with impaired vascular health and high blood pressure. Our new findings show that these benefits extend to the obese Zucker rat, a widely used model resembling human Mets." He says, statistics show that an estimated 37% of the U.S. population is at risk for metabolic syndrome, and small changes to diet and physical activity can be sufficient to reduce the risk of developing diabetes and cardiovascular disease. Dr. Clemens Zikas concluded, again, he was the lead author of this study, quote, "Our recent findings documented that wild blueberries reduce chronic inflammation and improve the abnormal lipid profile and gene expression associated with the Mets. This new study demonstrates even greater potential to show that by normalizing oxidative inflammatory response and endothelial function, regular long-term wild blueberry diets may also improve pathologies associated with the Mets. Many past research studies have shown that consuming 1 to 2 cups of blueberries several times per week or supplementing with a standardized anthocyanin extract 400 milligrams daily can significantly reduce the risk associated with developing diabetes and vascular disorders." So here we have again, you notice one of the things that the lead study author said before we read the last part, he pointed out that small changes to diet and combined with physical activities can actually be sufficient to reduce the risk of developing diabetes and cardiovascular disease. So there he's mentioning two of those laws of health that we talk about on here, those 8 laws of health. He mentions 2, diet and exercise, just small changes. And I suspect, I don't know what he means when he says small changes, but the changes I mean is going to a plant-based diet, then exercising 5 to 6 days a week, 45 minutes to 1.5 hours a day. And so here you have just doing these two things can significantly reduce the likelihood that you will develop diabetes and cardiovascular risk. Now, especially when you're adding blueberries, that's what we're talking about in this healing food segment, where when you add blueberries to the mix, blueberries have shown that they have the ability to significantly reduce the likelihood that you will end up with heart disease or diabetes because of the level of anthocyanins in them, that's contained in them. And they recommend eating 1 to 2 cups of blueberries several times per week or supplementing with a standardized anthocyanin extract 400 milligrams a day. We recently here at Phase 3 Wellness started to carry the supplement. Of course, I would recommend that you eat the blueberries if possible, and organic if possible. But secondarily, we recently began to carry some of the supplements that they mentioned here, which contain these beneficial nutrients. And if you would like to, you can visit phase3ministries.com and just go to the Herb Shack, and you may find some of the things that we have there. If you don't see it there, we have to do some updating. Just you can call and ask, and we'll let you know whether or not we have it if you're looking for something specifically. Now we're going to pivot over to this, our final segment, which is our healing herb, healing supplement segment. And we're going to continue our discussion, our talk, on the herb Siberian ginseng. It's also known as eleutheral root. Another couple of names is called Eleutherocus, touch me not. There's a couple other names for it as well, but you typically see it as eleutheral root. You may see it also as Siberian ginseng, depending on where you are located in the world. But it's one of my favorite herbs to recommend as well as to use. I've seen its benefits work wonders. And we talked about a little bit about it last week. So let's back up just as a reminder, just as a brief review. It is, as I said before, it is considered an adaptogen in that it helps to normalize your body function. It also helps your body to adapt to stressful situations. It inhibits your stress response by reducing the activity in your adrenal cortex. And this is one of the things that I recommend it for and others recommend it for as well. In helping to rebuild the adrenals, you know, to help with adrenal fatigue, to take some of the help to replace the B complex, or help you deal with the adrenal cortex and the adrenals overall, and to help replace in conjunction with some B complex vitamins, especially, but to help replace your B vitamin, B complex vitamin, and also help your energy levels. We were talking about energy before. This is one of the things that has very pronounced effects, typically in a day or two, of helping to increase your energy, especially when combined with other things. It is also it's an herb that actually helps to stimulate your immune system. So in one sense, it also acts as a natural antibiotic from the perspective of stimulating your own natural antibiotic immune system. So it is, as a result of being a stimulant, an immune system stimulant, it is especially useful for preventing infection during times of intense physical activity, as well as prolonged activities of stress, or periods of stress rather, because prolonged periods of stress tend to suppress the immune system. Now, as I mentioned before, Siberian ginseng actually supports your body by helping the liver to detoxify harmful toxins. Very important. And I talked about before, especially people who've chosen to use chemotherapy, if they've been diagnosed with cancer. This is one of the herbs, Siberian ginseng, as I mentioned before, along with COQ10. It helps to detoxify the liver from chemotherapeutic agents, as well as products that might expose you to radiation. So if you've chosen, for whatever reason, to take drugs, and you're taking chemotherapy, or you're taking radiation, which I would not recommend at any rate, if you've chosen to do that, it's a free country, you have, it's your health, you can choose to do so, you should seriously consider taking also Siberian ginseng. Preliminary studies in Russia have confirmed the use of the herb for people undergoing chemotherapy as well as radiation therapy for cancer to actually help alleviate the side effects, and also not only that, but to help your bone marrow recover more quickly. Now, so that's where we stopped last week, and so now we want to look at some of the more specific health conditions that Siberian ginseng is recommended to help heal. First, we look at cancer and mumps. Siberian ginseng was found to have a pronounced effect on your T cells, most of your T helper cells, but also your cytotoxic and natural killer cells. So it stimulates T cells, which are depleted in people who may have Hodgkin's disease, which is you can have non-Hodgkin's non-cancer, or you can have cancer Hodgkin's. Not only does it help, your T cells are depleted in Hodgkin's disease. Not only that, corpuscular sarcoma and all forms of carcinoma that have spread, you will have a depletion of your T cells in these types of sicknesses. Now, Siberian ginseng also helps to stimulate your B cells, which are depleted in people with chronic leukemia, multiple myelomas, as well as those who have ovarian carcinoma. Now, Siberian also increases the production of interferon, which is an immune system chemical, which makes it useful in treating mumps, as well as in treating treating several kinds of cancer. So a lot of people don't realize that when they're taking it, a lot of practitioners may recommend it primarily to help rebuild the adrenal glands, but it also helps to detoxify the liver. Anything that helps to detoxify the liver is beneficial. Not only that, though, it helps to boost the immune system to strengthen your helper cells and also your T cells. Your natural killer cells. Now, again, so one of the things that's very beneficial for specific issues, health issues, is cancer and also the mumps. The next two things that it's good for, as I've mentioned before, is chronic fatigue syndrome. It's also good for Lyme disease. It can also be beneficial for tuberculosis and other viral infections. And here's how. Siberian ginseng has a proven ability to prevent upper respiratory infection. How do I know? Russian studies involving tens of thousands of participants found that taking Siberian ginseng for 8 to 10 weeks before the beginning of the cold and the flu season actually reduces the incidence of these diseases by more than 95%. So here's a study taking thousands of people, and they begin to take this Siberian ginseng 8 to 10 weeks, 2 to 2.5 months prior to the cold and flu season coming on. And they were able to prove this with thousands of participants, that those who were who ended up with the cold or flu were reduced by more than 95%. That is astonishing. It's an astonishing statistic. This herb, Cyberian ginseng, actually stimulates, again, the activity of several immune system components, your B cells, your T cells, which I mentioned, and which direct the immune response to infection. So that means it can actually help your macrophages, which are your germ-eating cells that attack the bacteria, and interferons, which are they actually interfere with every stage of viral infection. Now, this is all from Siberian ginseng. It's shown up to be a very, very effective and powerful natural antibiotic. And again, like I said, I normally recommend it more so often in cases, more so than a very powerful natural antibiotic. I recommend it more readily in cases of, but as you can see, based upon the information that I'm providing here, that is a very, very able, if you will, natural antibiotic as well. Now, there's been some recent evidence that has come out dealing with Siberian ginseng that suggests that it may even prove very, very valuable in long-term management of various diseases of your immune system, the diseases like HIV, chronic fatigue syndrome, and autoimmune illnesses such as lupus. Now, let's look at, again, how it helps with depression and stress, because that's typically the top ways that I've given it for renal fatigue and stress. There's some research that has shown that Siberian ginseng actually stimulates resistance to stress. It helps you deal with stress. So in a stressful situation, the adrenal glands, as I mentioned earlier, actually release corticosteroids and adrenaline, which initiate what we call the flight, or what's known as the fight or flight response. Now, when these hormones are depleted, the body reaches an exhausted phase. And this is what I talked about when I mentioned adrenal fatigue. And not only does it affect your adrenals, but it affects your entire endocrine system, because whenever your adrenals are fatigued, it causes other of your glands to pick up the slack. And it puts burden upon these other organs or glands in your pituitary, in your endocrine system. Now, when these hormones are depleted, again, your body reaches an exhausted phase, or an exhausted state. Siberian ginseng actually delays the exhausted phase and allows a more efficient release of these hormones. So it kind of like a modulator, if you will. Ginseng is also used to treat problems with concentration and sensitivity to environmental stress, such as noise, drafts, and changes. It basically helps you to deal with stress. This also helps people who may have clinical depression, which we were talking about earlier, deal with stress, because it also eases depression directly by balancing your serotonin, your dopamine, your epinephrine, and norepinephrine. And these are all brain chemicals that actually help determine your mood. Now, men, if you have diminished sex drive, Siberian ginseng can also stimulate your body's production of testosterone. This allows the herb to both increase sex drive as well as also help to fight impotence. Now, there's a little bit more we can cover on it, but I want to stop right there, and we'll look at won't take me but a minute, is Meniere's disease. The Siberian ginseng's capacity to reduce inflammation makes it useful in the early stages of Meniere's disease, because it actually acts by reducing the activity of mast cells, which actually release bursts of chemicals that cause inflammation and ends up in tissue destruction. So anything that helps with the inflammation, as does Siberian ginseng, can help any disease or any abnormality or any issue that has, which many of them do, has as their basis inflammation. Now, you have been listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to remind you to join me right here again next week from 4 to 5 p.m., wherever you may be listening. Again, if you join the show late, you can go back in about 10 minutes and listen to any parts you might have missed. You can download it, share it, spread it around. Again, thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. And until next week, be blessed.